Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 51 for August 1st, 2007. Chocolate Rain. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak.
It's time for MacBreak Weekly. We got a bunch of rich people who own Apple stock on the show this week, so I just want you to know that if you're taking any stock advice, we're the wrong people to listen to. There you go, Scott Bourne. And that's for Scott Bourne's attorney. Scott Bourne is a Apple shareholder. We all of us may or may not own some tech stock. I've told people I've owned 10 shares of Google. I don't own any Apple stock, but we probably should say up front, and we have never said this explicitly, that
and by the way, those 10 shares of Google, that's why those people are camped out in front of your house.
I've always wondered about this. There have been some journalists who've gotten in a lot of trouble. But we're not exactly, maybe we are. I mean, I'm thinking of one guy in particular who had a column, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, but in some important financial journal, where he was talking about stocks all the time and never disclosed that he actually had ownership in some of those stocks.
Yeah, in that case, I think he was giving stock advice, and I'm not giving anybody stock advice.
Right, exactly.
I will tell you where to get a really good cut of roast beef in San Francisco.
Oh, where's that?
That would be... The House of Prime Rib, because technically prime rib is roast beef.
It is. It is. And that, of course, Merlin Mann was the guy who turned us on to the House of Prime Rib. Beef eater Merlin Mann, do you have anything to disclose?
I'm still holding some, I've got some pets.com and a little bit of home grocer. and I'm a little bit exposed in Peapod right now.
I'm bullish on Peapod, yep. Yep.
Yeah, I think Peapod's going to go places. No, I own basically this microphone and a computer. That's
I don't even own the microphone. It's in hawk.
It's leased.
Remember Cosmo? Was it Cosmo?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I did my Christmas shopping with Cosmo.
I loved Cosmo.
Everybody who was a customer of Cosmo loved it. But if you really thought about it, there couldn't possibly have been any money in the business of delivering a pack of cigarettes to a guy in the Mission District at 2 a.m.
Having a business in San Francisco where some guy could call you at 11 o'clock and order just a quart of Haagen-Dazs. I'm just saying, San Francisco is not the place to go with that business model.
So it was San Francisco, New York. It was guys and bikes.
Yeah.
And you could buy what? Ice cream, cigarettes, and they'd bring you videos, right?
One day I ordered all CDs for all my family members and a case for my Palm 5. It was there in an hour.
They lost so much money. Anyway, we do not own that stuff.
They're Snickers.
and one of the analysts was always saying, I know these guys are going to go out of business any minute, but I wish they wouldn't because my wife loves them.
Well, that's exactly it. This was a company that made its customers very happy. Its stockholders, not so happy. Alex Lindsay is also here from the Pixel Core, pixelcore.com, for those who are interested. Alex, do you have anything to disclaim?
I wish I had stock. I think that would be good. I have the virtual stock, which I've done very well on my Macrocracy account.
That's right.
I put about $400,000 into a handful of companies, and that $400,000 in 3 years has grown to about $3 million, and I really wish it was real.
Oh, my God. What site is that?
It's called Macrocracy.com.
Macrocracy.
And what they do is that it manages it gives you $1 million to work with. And then you can just say, you can build your own little fund, and you build, and mine's like the Alex Media Fund or something like that. And I put money in Apple and Pixar and Nvidia and ATI and Adobe and
just
a couple
the stuff
other ones.
You love.
Yeah, just and that's their whole argument, is that people investing in areas that they know a lot about, their own industries, could do very well. And so anyway, I did it, and every time I get a monthly or weekly report on how well I'm doing, and it's really hard. I really wish it was real money. That's all I got to say. So that's my only disclaimer. Otherwise, I don't own any publicly traded stock. I have stock in my own companies. But
and we'll probably have to do this from now on, to do a serious disclaimer. People who are on the podcast on the TWiT network may or may not own stocks in the companies we're talking about. If you are investing, you should seek serious advice from people who know what they're talking about, and not us. That seems like that would cover everything there.
And I will say that if it comes to a discussion of Kentucky Fried Chicken, I'd be seriously biased.
Against? For or against it?
It used to be for, but now it's against because it really sucks to use your iPhone after going to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes. And I have to say, do not wear face powder if you use an iPhone either.
Oh, crud.
That's it for Merlin. He knows he doesn't want one.
If I have to choose between iPhone and drag, don't do that to me.
Oh, you look
good. I have to admit, I notice when I leave the lab, you know, in Vancouver, I get a lot more strange looks if I forget to take my makeup off. When I was in San Francisco, I'd leave, you know, call for help or screensavers, and I'd forget to take my makeup off. And nothing. People would look at you, and you'd get, like, the second look, and then they'd be like, he's in San Francisco. You do
everything. It fits right in.
Oh, yeah. You could walk around naked in San Francisco. They just say, is it Pride Week again? Didn't we just have Pride Week?
We just had it.
So, is there any Mac news at all, or should we just continue to talk about disclaimers for the rest of the show?
No, we got to talk about 3 billion songs.
3 billion songs. Wow.
That's got to be news if nothing else is.
And it went from 2 billion to 3 billion in 203 days.
I was going to say, it seems our little boy's growing up so fast. It seems like just the other day, their first million songs. Yep. Wow. And by the way, 1 billion iPod sales in 6 months. That's going to be a big record.
1 billion in iPod sales?
Yes. Sometime in the next 6 months.
Is that what they said?
Well, that can't be right.
That's kind of got to be wrong.
This is according to Playlist Mag.
It was a bad headline.
6 months to 1 billion.
1 billion. 6 months to 1 billion on iTunes.
It means everybody in America owns four.
No. It's 1 billion. And this is my fault. I misread that. I was typing quickly. It's 1 billion. It's 6 months to 1 billion sales.
I get it. It took a little less than 3 years to sell the first billion, a little less than a year to sell the second billion, and now in 6 months, they just passed the 3 billion mark.
So at this trajectory, by the end of the year, we hit 4 billion, or actually even by November.
That's 57 songs a second.
720 terabytes per month.
And $3 billion.
Apple.
But in gross money sales. Moving through the bank account, let me tell you, you hold on to that for 18 hours and that makes you a couple hundred million.
The float alone, exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to watch those two trend lines cross as more of these, you know, this sounds unkind, but to watch the bricks and mortar kind of fall away and to see, how does that compare to what's being sold in the malls of America?
Tower Records sold 23 songs last week.
Well, they're out of business, aren't they? That's the problem.
That's why they only sold 23.
Yeah. I would hate to be in the record store business these days.
I think it's not even just the deal. It's the convenience of the whole thing. I mean, I have this bad habit now of, I was shopping with my kids over the weekend and I was buying them some books, you know, for themselves. But for me, I sit there with my iPhone and I take pictures of the books that I want to order. And then I order them on Amazon because I don't want to carry them around. You know, that was the worst part. Is that I don't even care how much it costs. I just don't want to put them back in. I was traveling. I was in Pittsburgh. I don't want to put them in my bag. You know, I'd rather just run an order. And if I could do like a delicious library of the ISBN number or the little code at the bottom in the bookstore and have it order from Amazon, I'd be a happy camper. But that's that whole movement of, you know, it's not even just saving money. It's actually the convenience of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were just talking about TV shows and Merlin was pointing out that this is before the show began, that he would buy something and it arrives, even with Amazon's Prime, it arrives 2 days later. You go, what was I thinking? There's too much of a delay between the time you buy it and the time you actually get
it. It's true. There's two Merlins. There's like, I don't know, you have Netflix, right, Leo?
Oh, yeah.
I had this with Netflix all the time. There's like Smarty Pants ordering Merlin, and then there's like 7 in the evening, you know.
What am I going to watch,
fingers
Merlin?
Down the front of my pants, hanging out, sitting in a lounge chair, Merlin. And it's like, man, Truffaut movies, what am I going to do with this, you know?
I have to issue a disclaimer here. Some of the members of the Mac Break Weekly podcast may, in fact, watch TV with their hands down their pants.
Kind of in a kind of Al Bundy comfortable way. Yeah. I don't think that implies anything lurid. I should disclaim at this point. No, I'm not.
Go ahead. I know what you're going to say. I've got it anyway on tape from before, so I'll just stick it in right here.
You're going to fix all this in post, right?
Yeah, as usual.
Okay.
So who is Neil Cavuto? And as the British would say, OZ when he's at home.
Neil Cavuto is one of the Insta-pundits at the
Fox.
I'll say Fox News Channel.
fair and unbiased, unbalanced, fair and unbalanced.
I think their model is we distort, we decide, something like that.
Anyway, he's an iPhone hater.
Of course he is.
Well, you know what? It's not a bad thing to be an iPhone hater.
No, it's a great idea. If you want to get traffic to your website, if you want to, you know, stand out from the crowd, it's, you know, being a hater makes sense.
In all likelihood, Neil Cavuto had no idea what the iPhone was until June 29th and then said, I could get some traffic by saying how sucky this thing is. So he was making some hay on the fact that AT&T said only 147,000 phones were activated in the first 30 hours.
And if you're listening to us now, Neil, and we know you are, I challenge you to a debate on the Apple phone show.
Then, interestingly, according to John Gruber, interestingly, the transcript of this statement, which is not untrue, as long as you say it's AT&T that said it and it was activations, not sales, the transcript magically was fixed.
Disappeared.
Magically changed to 270,000.
You know, they have a habit of those changes occurring at the Fox News transcript.
Well, the change that's made is it says, so they changed it to, from lo and behold, we're told 146,000 iPhones were activated, so to 270,000 iPhones were sold in the day and a half. And this is that same thing we were talking about, was it last week? Where, you know, that there's a big difference between the number that got sold and the number that got activated, and it's just hilarious.
A lot of people, again, iPhone haters, were saying to me, well, come on, that tells you there's something wrong or somebody's lying. And when I said, well, you know, don't you think a lot of people bought phones that they didn't activate right away because they gave them as gifts, or they, like somebody like Mr. Bourne here, who bought 300 for his friends and family. There were a lot of phones sold that didn't get activated, but they got activated eventually. And people were saying, the person I was talking to was saying, oh, come on, you know that's not true. They just didn't sell that many.
Oppenheimer was lying, I guess, is what they're saying.
The Apple CFO.
Here's what I want to do. If you've got evidence, whoever you are out there, if you got evidence that Apple was lying, put up.
Yeah.
Or
no,
shut
I don't
up.
Think Apple was.
And there's no evidence of that. If there was, it would be a federal crime. So let's get the SEC involved and put up. Let's find out. Otherwise, you're just blowing smoke.
Are we still happy with the iPhone?
I am.
Yeah. I tell you, I still show it to people, and people are still going, wow, that's cool.
I'm trying to figure out how to do a demo like Merlin would do a demo if he owned an iPhone.
How do you mean?
There's no keystroke combinations. It's not going to happen.
I'm trying to think of like maybe a that phone guy's approach to showing somebody the iPhone. It would be kind of cool.
Hey, have you done any of that phone guys lately?
God, no, I'm way behind.
Maybe you should do some iPhone phone guys.
We did that one at Macworld.
But I mean, just something like, you know, you can mock the iPhone a little bit, just a little gentle ribbon.
Tell you the truth, I mean, now this is going to become my hobby horse each week, but I think that's
too obvious.
I think that's, well, no, I was just going to say, I think I'm starting to unpack what it is that I found so frustrating about the iPhone mania, and I'm realizing that in my head anyway, a lot of it was just the iPhone as object.
Right.
Fetish.
Right.
And I think what is neat is now we're starting to see more people saying, showing like what you can do on it. And like this week, I think it was this week, Backpack by 37 Signals came out with an update that added some really neat features and has some backpack ability or some iPhone ability. And I think more and more what you're describing exactly what's in the demo. I mean, what are you doing with this apart from enjoying the interface? Because I think that's kind of what the story
I'm finding it actually a very, very good phone. I mean, I find it, you start to get used to the idea that you can make these calls so quickly that you just touch a number and it dials it, that the voicemail is right there. I'm just finding that addictive.
Is it still, I mean, I guess maybe I'm missing the point because I'll cede you that it's a great experience, but at this point, is it just the way it feels to use that's still kind of the primary feeling about it?
Yeah, I'd say so, because there's a lot of functionality missing. I see all these new Safari apps like the Backpack and stuff, but I find that frustrating because it's buried in Safari, and that gives me, there's two disadvantages to that. Unless you're near a Wi-Fi signal, it's too slow to use. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just cannot wait. I'm sitting there with Edge, and it's just, I don't even want to demonstrate anything that requires internet access because people just say, okay, yeah, show me, okay. It just takes too long. And secondly, it's buried because there's no button on the front. You have to go to Safari and find the page. And admittedly, with the bookmarking and the multiple pages, it's easier to get to a Safari page than it is on most phones. It's still too many steps for me to make it, to expose it.
How solid have you found the Wi-Fi support?
Mine's been excellent. You know, I have it set up so when I'm at home, when I'm at the office, when I'm downtown in Petaluma, that we've got Wi-Fi there. And in every case, at the gym, at the restaurant I go, in every case, it doesn't say anything. It just recognizes it and uses it.
Are you using your iPhone at the gym?
Yeah. I take pictures and upload them. That's a special.
No, I have to admit, I only ask because I have this like this ADD thing where I'm I've actually gotten into this habit now of because I do a lot of stationary bike, you know, and I get bored. So I'll be stationary biking and watching, you know, whatever's on TV on my. Well, I mean, I can choose the channels on my stationary bike. So I'm watching TV, surfing the web on my, you know, on my iPhone and biking all at the same time.
Do you put on your mascara too while you're doing that?
No. There's
you
no
should
mascara.
Get a driver's license. You'd be great on the highways.
Yeah, no, that's why I don't.
You fit right in.
Yeah. There was one point where I was eating a sandwich and drinking at the same time while driving about 80 miles an hour, and I realized I really shouldn't.
Dangerous.
Be driving.
I just saw a stat that something like 80% of all teenagers text while driving was some huge number.
Just made that illegal in the state of Washington, and I was thinking to myself, you needed to make that illegal.
It should be.
Oh, I've done it.
I have too. When I first got a BlackBerry, I spent a lot of time sending and receiving email while trying to go down the highway 101.
Well, see, the iPhone was built to deflect that because of the touchscreen.
You can't do it.
So they were trying to save us all from ourselves.
I do have to admit that now when I go to my sandwich shop that has Wi-Fi, I'll sit down, I'll launch the Google Reader, which does a beautiful job on the iPhone, and I will go through stories and I will share them or book a star them as for later use when I get back to the office for shows and so forth. And it's actually, I don't read the paper as much anymore. I'll be reading my iPhone, which really looks stupid.
Well, the Google Map thing, we just wrote about this on the blog. I mean, the functionality of Google Maps, if you really stop and look at it, there's a lot of cool features there, like being able to bookmark something, being able to, you know, instantly get directions to it, being able to turn it into a contact with the hit of a button. I mean, that's what's really started to be profitable for me. I put something in Google Maps, and man, I got it wired from here on out.
Yeah. I just, again, it's too slow an edge, and it's just not usable when it's not.
Fortunately, here in San Francisco, we live in the cloud.
So you're always on Wi-Fi?
There's 23 Wi-Fi connections on the city corner I'm on right now.
And is it? And it, so you're able to, you don't make any effort. It automatically joins.
I thought you didn't use OpenAPs.
I don't. There's plenty of secured ones you can subscribe to. And right. For instance, Alex and I have the same thing. We belong to the same company that gives you that access. And you pay $30 a month and get Wi-Fi.
So you can't say T-Mobile now? Are you a shareholder?
I was just, you know, trying not to sound like a commercial for them.
No, name names. I think it's useful. We don't have to. I always hated it when you watch a show and they say an unnamed phone.
All right, T-Mobile.
I have a T-Mobile. I use that too. Yeah,
it's $30 a month, and it works at like any Starbucks, any Borders, and you know, so there.
A lot of airports.
It's secure Wi-Fi, and there's tons of Wi-Fi connections around where I live and work. So I frankly. I don't think I've been on edge more than 5 minutes.
I'm on it all the time, but I guess I get kind of patient. I just have it. I find myself typically, you know, I end up with this like late night taxi ride back from from SFO a lot, and I find myself, I just go through CNN and I like read articles on the way home, and that, you know, it's slow, but it takes me just a second for it to load up. It's not really that bad. I mean, it's bad. Like I wouldn't do anything that I was in a rush to do, but when I'm waiting in line, I don't have anything better to do. So it kind of works out fine. But yeah, for me, the T-Mobile thing, which I think is hilarious that I got an AT&T phone and then I spend most of my time on T-Mobile. But the T-Mobile, the fact that it works at every Starbucks, I literally know, you know, I have this radar in the back of my head that just saves, like it just archives every Starbucks I drive by so that I always know where I can go to check my email.
I think it's going to be really interesting when the iPhone software gets to a point where it can do stuff with the Google suite. I mean, can you do like, you can't do Google Docs right now, can you?
You can download, you can't edit.
You can't, there is a fantastic, you know, there's Zoho and there are a number of Docs applications you can use on the iPhone. Who is it that does that, word processor, Scott?
It's GOffice.
Or GOffice, that's right, yeah.
I just recently got into the Google Calendar and documents and stuff like that, and I hadn't spent much time with them for a while, and I just can't believe how far they've come.
Oh, yeah.
It's really amazing. And, you know, the documents, the docs in particular, scratches a lot of itches that I've had with mobility issues. And I think it's, there's a part of, in the back of my head that wonders, boy, that just, you think about those two little clouds of functionality and what could happen if they got hooked together. If you could eventually start doing, you know, the way that Google right now lets you take so much of what you do into one place, right? Your office stuff, really everything but contact management and task management at this point. I guess you do some contact management in Gmail, but you know what I mean? Being able to take that and to put that all into one place, I think is a really fascinating idea.
And that's the frustration for me with the iPhone, that it doesn't allow third-party apps. It's so close to being the machine, you know, the final thing. The final portable computer, and it just misses by, you know, just enough to make it frustrating. But I'm sure it'll be fixed, and in time it will be that thing. It's got the keys. They're there. The functionality's there.
Could you ever see that, though?
Hack it in. They're starting to hack it.
They are. That Hello World application, though, it's so painful to make that anything work. I don't know if anybody will do that.
But. Well, it's just the beginning. The question is really whether... The real question is whether Apple's going to...
Apple's got to do it. I think it has to come from Apple.
Well, they can go one way or the other. They can do what they've done in the past, which is saying, we're not going to support it. We're not going to promise that it'll always work, but we're not going to stop you from doing it.
So, Why wouldn't they just allow it?
iMovie did that. iMovie did that, which is iMovie. They basically did not release an SDK. People reverse engineered how to make plugins.
Really? There's no published way to make a plugin? You just have to figure it out?
I think there is now. I think that there's some kind of rudimentary one. But for years, when iMovie came out, there was no SDK. You had to figure it out on your own. Wow. But Apple wouldn't really support it. But they also didn't close it off. So if you figured out how to do it, you could do whatever you wanted to do with it. And part of that comes down to Apple not. There's a lot of sensitivity, at least with the people that we've talked to, where they don't release the SDKs immediately because they want the room to innovate. They want to be able to continue to change the OS, change the other pieces without having all these guys complaining to them that now that their plugins are broken. And so it's not just – part of it is they want to figure some of this stuff out.
But that's why you release an SDK. You release an SDK to say, okay. Because otherwise, everybody is developing on thin ice because at any time Apple could change it. The point of the SDK is say, look, these are the things – and you just be clear. These are the things we're going to stick with. I understand they want full room, but you'd be crazy to develop. Well, look at Haxies, for instance. These guys fight OS X constantly because OS X is constantly pulling the rug out from under them. Publish an SDK. That's the whole point. Encourage developers. How can you go wrong with that?
Well, I think that it comes. I think that the issue is, I know with some of the graphics apps, and I don't know about the iPhone at all, but I know with the graphics apps, the problem is that they are literally still changing lots of stuff within the core.
Well, that's a mistake. They need to settle down.
Yeah, and it's an Apple. There's a culture there that we're not going to settle it down. We're gonna make sure that it is exactly the way we want it before we really make it easy for everyone to do it. Because you know, if people want to figure it out on their own, they can. But we're not gonna promise them anything.
I think that history has now proven that that's a mistake.
To some degree, but I think that the issue is that with for the developers who do figure it out, I know that the guys, I'm fairly certain talking to some of the guys that did some of the iMovie stuff early on, they made a lot of money because they were the only ones out there, you know, so the people who developed it, who get through that, you know, briar patch, can do really well because there's not a lot of other competition. I don't think Apple's going to keep it that way forever. But I think that especially early on, as they're figuring out stuff, as they've just released something new, I think that because I'm in the same boat. I'm dying to see apps. I'm dying to write apps. I'm dying to have more applications. I am not interested in the web apps at all. I mean, it just drives me crazy because I have to find them and I have to do this stuff. And I haven't found any of them particularly in a format that I want to use. So I agree with you that I really want to see the applications. And I think we're going to see it. I think that what's interesting is people are already starting to put them on. And I think you'll see more and more people playing with it. The big question is whether Apple will thwart them or just let them just kind of run along. That's when we'll know how serious.
All that tells me is that there's huge demand and Apple should sit up and listen. Because all of its customers are saying, open up the platform.
Actually, I'm sorry to be the negative spin on this part of it, but that's not what I hear. I think that's the loud battle cry from, you know, the technology elite and the super users and the 5% of people that really know what they're doing with a smartphone. The average mom and pop, I don't think cares whether or not they open up the phone. I think they're, on the contrary, excited about the fact that their phone doesn't crash because they've loaded 23 third-party apps.
Do you think the average mom and pop are even buying the iPhone?
right?
I don't know. I could be wrong, but I know
so.
That
I think only I early that, adopters are buying.
I'm just looking at surveys, Leo. I'm just looking at surveys that have been published that talk about the percentage of people that in general use smartphones, and the access that they make to third-party apps is less than 5% of the users take advantage of that.
Yeah, but the
I mean, was also the, because they sucked.
The, yeah, well, and
could,
also
that could be. That could be.
I was just going to say that the, I mean, it may not be anything that people even realize that they want or need. But you know, the development of this stuff, I suspect that a lot of the stuff that's gotten good over the last few years has gotten good because of that bleeding edge part of the curve and people who've pushed what you've been able to do with that. So I mean I wouldn't be asking people at the far left end of the curve what they think about development for the iPhone. I'm not sure that that's really the best.
Probably, you know, neither end of the curve, left or right. You know, it's the grand middle. But in this case, I don't think the grand middle of the iPhone is the average consumer. I think the iPhone is still a specialty product for early adopting audience. And part of the reason is lack of functionality. I think a lot of people look at it, you know, and it's sad because I also see people who buy it thinking they're going to get GPS, you know, thinking that Google Maps is really GPS. Or, I mean, I talk to people all the time who think the iPhone can do things it can't.
Yeah.
But that when people really find out, Leo, what GPS means to the phone, you know, let's talk about what it did to your N95. It sucked about half your battery life out.
It takes
4 or 5 minutes to find the satellites. Come on.
I agree. I haven't yet seen GPS well implemented in a phone, but I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm just thinking that there are people who aren't buying the phone because of the things it doesn't do, and there are also people buying the phone thinking it does things that it doesn't do.
Well,
Apple's sales. You know,
I mean, I have a TomTom. I have a TomTom right now, a little GPS that works great. I don't need it to be built into the phone if they would just let them write an application that could see it. You know, I mean, they're sitting here. You could have an application that's using Wi-Fi or whatever.
Even just so stereo Bluetooth, for crying out loud. I still have to plug in these lame-ass Apple iPod headphones. I've got a great stereo Bluetooth headset that would work really well with this if they just implement it, if they just put it in.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of things like that. The fact that it can't take a movie is just bizarre. I mean, the functionality is there. They could make a movie.
It can't. Oh, that it can't shoot a movie.
Shoot video.
Oh, okay.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the functionality already there. I don't understand why you don't. By the way, I was surprised. I think we all thought that there would be a patch by now because of this Safari vulnerability.
I'm still holding out for tomorrow.
Every week you say tomorrow.
I can't believe they're going to let it go to the Black Hat conference unpatched. Do
right.
you think that?
No, I mean, and that's what's puzzling. When's Black Hat start now? Right.
It's. I think it's when. Well, I don't know when we're going to air this show, but I think it's Thursday.
Okay, so you're saying by Wednesday.
If they don't, as far as I'm concerned, they got egg on their face.
Well, my iTunes isn't going to check until August. Well, let me check my iTunes, but I think it says it's not going to check until August 7th or 8th.
August, well, but you can check anytime you want.
You can, but it won't be automatic.
Right.
Let me see when it says it's going to check next. It says next August 5th. So it's not going to check till too late.
You might need to check yourself, Leo.
I might have to push that check for update button.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake not to do it unless they're trying to somehow bluster and bluff and say, well, it's such a small thing, we're not going to worry about it. I think they need to fix it.
Is that date, by the way, because I activated it on a Saturday or whatever, and it's just been a week. So is it different for everybody with the update?
Yeah, mine is different. I can't.
Mine's on Sundays for some reason. Okay, so it is different dates.
You can rest assured we'll be notifying people when it happens.
We'll do a special. But my hope is that when it comes out, there'll be some extra functionality too.
Well, there are 4 empty slots there on the bottom of the phone. I want to point that out.
Oh, we've been saying that for a while. Meanwhile, there's a big hack just came out for, and I think a really great hack for the Apple TV. It's too bad it's so hard to do, but finally you can use an external USB drive as storage.
Do you feel like you need that?
No. But there are those who do. This is the problem, is that the Apple TV is just like an iPod. You have to have enough storage space on your Apple, your Mac, to mirror it. So, you know, I have 160 gig Apple TV. I upgraded it. I did try to do it myself, and I botched it badly. So I ordered another one from Weeknees. It was upgraded for me. And so it's 160, which is more than I'm going to dedicate anyway on any of my Macs.
Right.
So I don't really, I realize, but what would I buy that big drive for? The only reason is if you hack it and you've now got some extensions that allow you to download stuff directly to it. And then you might want, because, you know, you can hack it, put BitTorrent on it and so forth. Then you might want to have a lot of, you might want to attach a Drobo to add a terabyte of storage. And you could keep, you know, every single one of the King Kong films on there or something. I don't know what you do.
I never heard the postmortem on your disk drive expansion for your Apple TV.
I guess I'm all thumbs. So I bought a, you know, it's just a laptop drive. So I bought a 160 gigabyte laptop drive. And I followed the process, which is pretty well documented, of you have to open up the Apple TV, take out the internal drive, and use DD, a command line tool, to image it, which I've done. And then you take the new drive, you plug it into some sort of interface, and I have a USB, one of those new tech USB interfaces, so I plugged it into that, and DD back onto it. I did that. Then you've got to do some rigmarole. This is where it fell apart for me. To expand, because it's now copied the same partition sizes from the smaller 40 gig drive onto the 160. So you have to expand the data partition and through some magic commands, again, in the command line. And I know I'm doing them right, but it just never, I can never format that data partition. Then I tried, so I thought, okay, oh well, at least I've got the old drive. I put it back in, but it doesn't go in quite as beautifully as it did the first time. And the thing makes a little whiny noise now.
Oh, no.
And, of course, my wife, who was living with the Apple TV, because we have it in the bedroom when it was quiet, now says, what is that? There's something going, It's not that loud, but it's loud enough.
Leo, I'm hearing a second whine.
There's another whine. Here's another whine. It was enough having you whine. So she unplugs it every night, which doesn't do wonders for the Apple TV. So finally I said, all right, I'm getting a new one. The new one, 160 gig drive, is silent. So they obviously, weak knees knows how to put a drive in without adding to the noise level. So my advice, if you want to do this, is to know what you're doing. Now, there is a way to get SSH on one of these drives without opening it up, but it's the most hideously complex thing. It involves booting from a special OS X partition on a USB drive, an emergency recovery partition, and doing stuff that I'm done playing. I actually use the Apple TV. I'm done messing with it. I just want it to work. And it does now, and it's quiet. My wife doesn't have
to. I'm afraid trying to change the hard drive on my last laptop, which made it my last laptop instead of my current laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of beat me into the ground of not really playing with my Apple hardware.
This thing, here's the thing I think I left off. And I've got it right in front of me. There are these little silver pads that I thought, well, that's just kind of magical thinking, that are on the drive. And now I'm realizing there must be some sort of noise. There's some little noise dampening thing they've done. These little silver pads.
Ah.
Yeah. So
keep it from vibrating, whatever.
Plus, I lost some screws. That didn't help. They're here somewhere.
Well, we've always
it's always bad when you end up with two or three extra screws.
Not good.
We've always thought you had a few screws.
Jeez. Anyway, my advice is either you don't need a... truth is, you don't need a giant drive. But now you can, if you want, put a Drobo or some massive USB drive on there. For reasons I'm not completely clear.
I just find that I don't feel like I need it. I mean, I
do
feel
you
like
use
I'm
the
using...
Apple TV? Are you using it?
Yeah, we have one in the office.
And you're happy
I don't
with
have
it?
One in the
office. Oh, you don't use it personally then?
No. I don't have a TV.
And Merlin, you've sent yours back, right?
No.
You use it?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We use it every night.
Oh,
and
good.
Like I say, that I never know if I can mention this because I think this is legal, but I mean, we actually rip DVDs that we own because I would rather use the Apple TV than my busted ass $35 DVD player.
Yeah, me too.
And I love it. A couple things. First of all, I too feel like I don't need a big drive.
Right.
I've got
you can stream for one thing.
You can stream okay. Let me see what my setting is. I think I set mine to say, because movies are the biggest thing. I've said 10 most recent unwatched movies.
Me too. Yep.
And then selected movies. And so if I want to make sure something gets back in line, I can do that. But I've been pretty happy with that. I haven't come near filling it up.
And you have the 40 gig.
I've got the 40 gig. And also, I got to say, I enjoy doing things like I put podcasts on there. I kind of like having that on there.
I've been loving it. I think this is a product that really got under... noticed. It deserves more attention. I know it's a specialized audience, but boy,
yeah.
This is one of my
I was going to say it's something I don't really feel like, you know, as much as I'm an advocate for things like being able to hack on the iPhone, I don't really feel any need to do anything to this. Yeah. If they can get that YouTube thing, my YouTube thing still is not working.
Mine works right away.
Well, I mean, I've got very few videos showing up, but I got to tell you, I would like nothing better than to sit around all day throughout the day tagging stuff as favorites.
Yeah, my kids do that.
Well, again, to come back to this Google thing, because I guess it's on my mind, but think about that. Think about if they really got this thing working and tuned well so that through the day, you're at work, you're seeing stuff you want to look at later, you're basically kind of flagging
queuing it. Queuing up that, YouTube videos. Yeah.
Same as you would in iTunes.
Good idea.
How bad would that be? And then you get this nice full version. You can sit there and say, show me all the videos that I flagged today. And
I wish they'd get the higher quality videos out there, though. Cause,
yeah, they're pretty janky looking.
Yeah.
I watched Chocolate Rain on there the other night, though, and that made me feel good. Leo, have you heard Chocolate Rain yet?
No, what is everybody's talking about it. What is it?
Go get on the YouTube and do a search for Chocolate Rain.
Is it a musical?
It's a young man singing a song. a very repetitive, like...
We talked about it on Net at Night, and I didn't quite get it.
Really annoyingly catchy. My wife hates it maybe more than anything in the world, and now she's singing it.
It's funny, my wife just watches Dick in a Box over and over.
Rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain.
That's not his real voice, is it?
Yeah.
He apparently. Looks, the kid looks 12. He sounds like Robert Goulet.
Yeah. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain.
Oh, I like the little rain.
Rain. Yeah, it's stentorian for sure.
So what is the? So
actually, it would be great if the Numa Numa kid would sing that song.
You know what?
Check out the views on that though.
2.3 million.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna record a lip sync right after this show.
Yeah.
Of Chocolate Rain.
It's really long. It's really
the
long.
The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain.
That can't be his real voice.
Build a tent and say the world is dry.
He does karaoke Rick Astley as well. You can check that out.
Same guy?
Oh, yeah.
Karaoke Rick Astley?
Yeah.
His name is Tay Zonde.
That's right.
Is he famous?
He's an internet sensation.
Good Lord. There is already a Darth Vader remix.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Is that funny?
Yeah, I mean, it's the guy's realizing he's thinking he sounds kind of a lot like Darth Vader, so he adjusts the sound just a little bit to turn it into a bona fide.
Rain. Wow. But, you know, for 2.4 million views, it only has 3 stars. There's Tay Zonde haters out there, too, aren't there?
I think with any kind of rating, you see a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I watched that on the Apple TV.
Chocolate rain.
You're going to be singing it all night.
He's the
now,
Sammy Davis Jr. of the YouTube. I mean, look at him. He's doing the face and everything.
Rain.
Oh, I like that. Rain.
Do we have any
Zoom the camera out and see the light. Chocolate rain.
That's when I'm going to buy one.
What are you going to buy?
The next Rev when they come out with the 2.0 product.
In the 160 now they offer. That's kind of.
Yeah, but I mean like, you know, a complete like, you know, the next thing.
I don't know. Apple. I think Apple is this is kind of an orphan.
I wonder if they're going to keep making it.
I do too.
Wow.
I really do.
Did you hear the rumor this week that they're going to abandon the Mini?
That rumor's been going around for months. I'm buying another one just because of the rumor.
Okay.
And then
the next day, there'll be a new one.
Exactly. That's the death knell of the existing Mini right there.
I was using my Mini yesterday to rip for my Apple TV, as a matter of fact, using Visual Hub, Family Guy.
I really think the Mini is the version 2 of the Apple TV.
maybe that's really, if they would add Apple TV functionality to that Mini, that is the same thing, isn't it?
Now that would be
cool. I mean, that'd be awesome. I mean, we have a lot of guys in the office that are using them for media servers now, you know, with the iTV, I guess, you know, so they can record stuff and, you know, and it keeps it all on a nice big drive and you can have the extensibility. You can have a lot of the things.
I like
you don't have that out of the box Apple TV kind of feel, but you can do almost everything else with it.
And didn't Elgato come out with something that competes with the Apple TV this week?
Did they? Oh, I love Elgato stuff.
Yeah, I think they did. So we got to look into that.
Elgato.com. Let me see.
I got a press release on my desk. I didn't have time to read it.
Well, I'll just read it right here. It's the Elgato Turbo 264. No.
Uh-huh.
Turbocharge exports to your iPod and Apple TV.
I don't think that's the new product. I mean,
no, but that's kind of neat. That's kind of a good idea, where it's got processing in the USB. Oh, here it is. HD Home Run for the Mac.
Yeah.
Networked digital TV for all your Macs. It supports QAM, which means you could watch HD if you connected it to a... Oh, it is. It's a network-connected HD tuner.
Yeah, so you can hook it into... You can hook your cable network, your digital cable network, into this, and then hook it via Ethernet to the network, and then you could watch it on different machines.
But can you listen to Chocolate Rain on it?
Oh, has to be falling yesterday, Chocolate Rain.
I'm going to keep playing this. I love it.
I think I know what we're going to be titling this episode.
I love that. You got to see the video. It's not the song. You got to see the video.
Yeah,
right?
He takes a breath. He has to get away from the mic to take a breath. So he does this kind of little jivey move that's infectious.
Chocolate Rain. Did he write the song?
I think he did. And to quote my poetry teacher from college, there's no need for it to ever end. It might as well go on forever and ever.
Yeah, because it's really, there's nothing. There's not even
a lot of progression.
There's not even a melody. Does it change?
As my college roommate used to say of Rush, it's all overture.
Let me go to the end and see if it... Yeah, it's all overture. let me go to the end and see if it changes.
Dirty secrets of economy, Chocolate Rain. Turn that body into GDP, Chocolate Rain.
It's just making up crap. Now, does it end?
I've never made it to the end.
He said GDP.
There might be an Easter egg if you make it to the end. I've never made it to the end.
This is the end. He's just standing there now. That's the end. He's not singing anymore. He's just listening to the music. He's looking at you, smiles. And that's it. And he sits down.
2 million views.
2 million views. And we're going to add a few right here.
There's something very disturbing
Chocolate Rain.
You got to see it, Scott. You got to see this fellow.
As soon as we finish this recording, I will hopefully enjoy it enough to put it there in the annals of my Numa Numa video, which I try to watch once a week just to get a good laugh.
Somebody's going to do the Numa Numa of this. Although
there's already lots of people doing.
There's a lot of parodies.
What would be great is when I get my motorcycle, I could ride down the street and have Alex on a chase vehicle. Sideways with the video, and I would be lip syncing to Chocolate Rain as I drove past.
Here's his version of Never Gonna Give You Up. He's wearing a hat now, so he kind of looks like Sinatra if he were 12 years old and black.
We're no strangers to love.
Yeah, this is the younger Taizan Day. This is before he really matured as a talent, I think.
Yeah.
Chairman of the board.
We got a new show coming on, don't we? Called Mac Break Weekly's Got Talent.
We should send us your videos. We'd like to hear.
That's so scary.
Macintosh Rain.
iPhone Rain.
Got no keyboard. I just hit the screen. iPhone Rain.
Could be a big hit. Is there any other quick?
we got a couple of software updates to talk about. Got the new Airport Extreme update.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's for the Intel Macs only.
I didn't get that. That must have come out today.
It did. And also we've got the Pro Services update. If you own stuff like Final Cut and Soundtrack, 4.01 came out.
All right.
I got that installed.
What does Airport...
It didn't seem to make any difference, but it was great. It was all good.
Airport update, it just says users reported crashes and instability relating to networking wirelessly on Apple's own support forum. So this allegedly acknowledges that issue.
There were some drop network issues, I think, recently. A lot of people were suffering from drop networks. So you think
I have to say, my Airport Extreme works like a charm.
It makes me crazy. I still can't believe that anytime I want to make a change, I've got to restart the freaking router. That's just wild to me.
Mine has sat here for 3 months and never missed a beat, and it works better than any router I've ever had.
God bless you if you ever have to change anything about it, because your internet connectivity will go down.
Here's the thing, Merlin. There's certain bliss in not being a super user. I plug stuff in and forget about it.
Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of Airport Expresses, and it's like a network of aphasias. It's like they've all had some kind of traumatic head damage. and I frequently have to re-educate them, and it's vexing. Anyway, no one cares.
You know, I have to admit, I went to, there's no Apple store around where my kids live, and I just bought them a Linksys. And other than having to like log in via the web or something, you know, to get to the Linksys router, I do have to admit it was really nice to not have to have it have this long, every time I change the setting.
Yeah, that is very frustrating.
It'd be like a five second, there's like a 5 second break, and then boom, it was back up again. And it, you know, worked just as well.
I've got my PlayStation 3 talking to it. I've got my iPhone talking to it. I've got my laptop talking to it. No problem.
Now, I'm going to change the direction completely.
Yes.
Chocolate rain.
Did we see that? Do you see that Apple? It does look like Apple's hosting an event on Tuesday.
What?
Next thing.
What?
Have you gotten an invitation?
Wait a minute.
No. I'm left out again.
Got left out again.
Email going out. Wait a minute. I haven't opened my. I closed my email before the show.
Check your email. See if it's come out.
What does it say?
It's. I don't know. I didn't get invited. I only get to go because you get to go.
Well, I'm loading.
I just carry the camera.
I'm loading up right now. Is it at? Is it at Cupertino? Is it
Town Hall? It's Cupertino.
Last one at Town Hall, they announced the Hi-Fi.
The Hi-Fi. That's
and the leather case. Oh, yeah. And let's not forget iPod socks. So
it's supposed to tentatively happen at 10 a.m. on Pacific time, and they said they will not. Let's see. They said specifically that there will be no iPhone or iPod announcement.
Oh, yeah. So they do want to kind of cut down on the.
My guess is that it's going to be a new iMac.
I did not get that announcement, but another one just crossed my desk, and it's from Greg Joswiak. I can never say this guy's name.
Jaws.
Right.
That's why they call him Jaws. Yeah.
Jaws. He says that the first software update for the iPhone is due to, quote, arrive shortly.
Chocolate rain.
Oh, I'm so excited. So you were right.
This is from an Apple employee.
Soon. By the time you hear this, you probably
are. I really wish you hadn't said that online.
Soon to be Apple employee.
No, this is an embargoed. It didn't come across embargoed.
I have not received any email from Apple saying an event is coming at all. Unless it got spammed.
Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. It says there's going to be a new yellow iPod with some Beatles music.
What about a chocolate iPod? That's what I'm waiting for. Like the new brown Zune.
Chocolate Zune. You taste good to me.
This could really get out of hand, I just want to point out.
Oh,
it's infectious.
Boy.
It's infectious.
It is. You've infected me, and I'm going to sue. We should have had a disclaimer somewhere up at the beginning that this show could infect you.
Yeah. Well, I think people have known that for quite some time.
I'm looking. I just, nothing. Nothing from Apple. So where did you read this? On some Apple rumor site?
Yeah. No, Apple Insider. I read it on Apple Insider is what it
is. This actually it came out from, I got it in a capital markets report.
You mean?
Oh, I got that. I just haven't read it yet. The capital markets report.
Oh.
I let those things pile up. And
RBC
Dane
Rauscher,
are you still with them, Scott? I've gone to the
The Fat Cat Report.
Yeah.
Apple to host Mac event next Tuesday. This is Dateline, July 31st, Tuesday. Apple Insider has been told that Apple is gathering analysts and members of the media. Oh, well, that's why I didn't get an invitation. For a Mac-related press event to be held at the company's headquarters in Cupertino on Tuesday. Apple Insider has been told, but they don't tell us anything more.
Well, how real can it be if you don't have an invitation, Leo? You get invitations.
I have been invited to the last few Apple events. I may not be on there. You know how the list changes. I don't know.
I know. They're fickle over there at Apple PR.
Maybe I didn't love the phone enough.
It could have had something to do with your attack on iTunes during the show we did at
no,
the Apple
No, I don't think so. You know, in fact, I talked to Scott Simpson and Pete Alcorn after that, and they weren't upset about it.
I'm just kidding.
They're very kind, very nice fellas.
They're nice fellas.
I'm not an Apple hater. They know that.
No.
I'm an Apple lover.
You're doing a show about Apple. How much can you?
How much could I hate it?
Yeah, I will note that the stock is down $9.67 today.
What?
Yeah. Of course, the whole market.
That's because they talked about lowering the number of. There was rumors that they're going to lower the number of iPhones that they're making from 9 million to 4.5 million or something.
That is speculation only, but the entire market. The broad average
the
is down
just
on
it. Dumping anyway.
It's on account of the mortgage people doing their thing, and and that's two both days that Apple stock took big hits have been subsequently related, I think, to the entire market going down, because both days we had big bad news from the mortgage sector, and that took the whole market south.
Because a lot of people were mortgaging their house to buy iPhones.
That was it.
You need to, too. Applications not actually available on the iPhone have been found in the device's firmware, according to an observer.
And we know how reliable he is.
This is from Mac News Network. In the process of searching through the iPhone system preference files, the observer discovered five unusual listings within default application state.plist: unit converter, phone book, translation, world clock, and radio.
Yeah, like we need radio.
Radio. I never understood why they put radios on phones. My Nokia has a radio on it. Who wants to listen to
radio? Well,
the whole
reason that people buy iPods is because radio sucks so much.
Right, exactly. You know? Make your own radio station.
You can tune into all 23 radio stations, each one of them playing Madonna's Like a Virgin at the same exact time.
I have to say, I've listened to the iPhone more than any... I haven't listened to my iPod at all in 2 weeks. The iPhone has become my iPod.
Mine has cobwebs on it.
Yeah. I have an 80 gig... Apple iPod video, and I haven't used it since I got the iPhone, even with the 8 gigs, just because, you know, I put like 10 really good albums that I like a lot on there, and about 4 books, about 10 TV shows, and I don't need it. I don't need anything else except Chocolate Rain.
Well, you know, there is that 300 gigabyte Merlin Man phone guy phone, which we're all sort of really looking forward to.
That's a lot of gigabytes.
It's a lot of gigabytes. I'm going to see if, now that you mention it, if I can get Chocolate Rain on my iPhone.
Oh, come on.
I don't really think that's healthy.
Wouldn't that be good? Would it be under most viewed? Probably, right?
Really don't know if you should do that. I think that...
Chocolate Rain. It's so annoying that Evolution of Dance is continuously the number one most viewed.
Well, I think it's part of being on the top gets to the top because people are searching for most viewed and then just watching the most viewed.
So sick of
it. Like thinking this must be good.
Where's Chocolate Rain?
It was good the first time we saw it.
Free hugs.
I think we should replace the existing Twit music with Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain. I have to talk to him. It's Creative Commons. We probably could.
Netcaster love.
Netcaster.
People you trust.
Chocolate Rain. I'm really mad at you right now, Merlin, man.
Yeah. That's nothing compared to Madeline, man. She is.
Does she go around singing it?
She thinks it's totally annoying. That I walked in the other day. She was in the kitchen. She's going,
You got her. Gotcha. I'm going to try playing it for my wife and see if she goes for it.
I'm going to go get me a dog next week and name him Chocolate Rain.
That's actually kind of not a good idea. as somebody who owns a puppy, I would recommend...
I think that's what you get when your dog eats grass.
Okay.
Hey, I got on the iPhone, baby. And it's even better on the iPhone. Chocolate Rain. See, who needs a radio? I got Chocolate Rain.
Did you find it by searching through the YouTube stuff?
No, where did I find it? It is in the picks, I think. It's in Featured.
Ah.
It's fourth down on Featured. After Ghetto Science, Oh Mandy, Hitman, but before Axio something, which is Harry Potter.
Can you imagine aliens from another universe coming and finding YouTube and thinking that represented the knowledge base of mankind?
You know what's sad? It does.
It does.
That's what's sad. That's the thing that's depressing. It, you know, there's this guy, Keen is his name.
Yeah.
Another Google speaker like our own Merlin Mann. What's his name? Andrew Keen?
Yeah, he's he doesn't like the user-generated content. Doesn't like the
I believe that users suck, and the things they say are so juju.
Is it really? I've heard, I haven't read his stuff. I've only ever heard other people talk about it. Is it really that kind of?
Yeah.
Really?
I'll give you some Andrew Keen quotes. But by the way, I am going to make, believe it or not, as long as we're talking about him, I'm going to make him our Audible book pick. So you can read more or listen to him. In fact, we could play a little bit of a clip from him. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's obvious. Of course, you know, a lot of the stuff on YouTube is junk. But that doesn't mean that it's a bad thing that users get to create their own content and put it and get it published, which is his point. We really should send this all back to the, you know, the Times of London should be the arbiter of all content.
I think things like that can be good, though, and then it gets, you know, people talking about it. And there's been lucid responses to what he said.
Exactly.
I read more of those. I haven't read his stuff, but I read the responses.
And frankly, you know, he's not as bad as he in his speech at Google. It was actually, you know, it was okay. He was tolerable. It's probably worth, let me see if I can find his, I found, I searched for Keen and I found all the Nancy Drew novels. That's bad. What is his name? Andrew Keen?
I think it is.
Oh, it's Keen without an E at the end. The Cult of the Amateur. How Today's Internet is Killing Our Culture. Want to hear a little bit of him just to hear how poncy he is? This is our Audible book pick, by the way. Oh, he's
in the
poncy.
Pre-internet age, T.H. Huxley's scenario of infinite monkeys empowered with infinite technology seemed more like a mathematical jest than a dystopian vision. But what had once appeared as a joke...
That sounds like Merlin making fun of him. Doesn't it?
He can't help it that he's English. That's
it sounds like Merlin making fun of the guy.
Now seems to foretell the consequences of a flattening of culture that is blurring the lines between traditional audience and author, creator and consumer, expert and amateur. This is no laughing matter.
You know, I think Today's this guy's technology. Alive. He's alive only because it's against the law to kill him.
But anyway, this is our. It's actually.
have you heard the book?
Yeah. If it doesn't, if you don't blow your stack listening to it, which you may well, it's you know, it's funny how people react to it. You either laugh, blow your stack, or the intelligent thing to do, which would be to think of rebuttals to it. And I feel fairly strongly that this should be said. I think a lot of people feel this way. But I would like to see some good rebuttals to it, because frankly I think that it can easily be rebutted.
I think what's funny about some of the taking some of the community ideas out of the Web 2.0 space. I think what's funny about it is that so many independent people are doing it well, and so many large companies are doing it poorly.
Yes.
To me, that's the funny story. Go look at the homepage of CNN. I kind of like the redesign. I think it's pretty cool. But they started adding all of this stuff. Like, hey, they got a blog now.
Yeah.
And they've got this electronic addiction section.
And that may be what he doesn't like. That may be what he's talking about. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm sure you know lots of people who work for papers. I mean, ask anybody who's a reporter at a paper right now how they feel about having to have a blog in addition to writing for deadlines.
Just remember what Dave Barry said, that a lone amateur, built the Ark. And a large group of professionals built the Titanic.
I like that.
Isn't that good?
That's good.
And I mean, I think we talked about this earlier, but I mean, this is what happened in the early 90s when all these kids, and I was one of them, were learning Photoshop. And suddenly there was all this stuff that was being done, and all these guys in ad agencies were looking down their nose at it. And then a lot of them were out of work. And we were getting paid minimum wage to do ads for, you know, regionally.
And you have to wonder, a professional pundit like Andrew Keen, that's really kind of probably at root his fear.
I have a theory about this. Sometimes I get a little bit exasperated with journalists, not because I envy them, but because I think that sometimes they have, I don't know, it seems like they feel like they've gotten some kind of really special coronation, to do what they do. And I just think it's really interesting that, there's some citizen journalism going on. I mean, I'm stating the obvious to anybody who listens to this, but there's citizen journalism going on out there that's on a par with a lot of the best real journalism.
I will point out, though, that journalists, at least used to be, I don't know if it's true so much anymore anyway, but at one time there was a journalistic ethic. There were rules. You would go to J school and you would learn this. And because we assume still kind of in our gut that that's still the case, we forget that these amateur journalists don't have any of that. And so the idea
they lack editors. They don't have editors.
Well, but they also don't, for instance, know this thing about editorial conflict. you know, and so forth. And so that's why you have pay for play, you know, blogs and paper, you know, all of that stuff, because there isn't that kind of journalistic.
I don't think there's been journalistic integrity for as long as I've been reading.
I disagree. I know a lot of very committed journalists, even in broadcast news, who very strongly believe, you know, you don't cover stuff that you have a financial interest in. Whoops. You don't. well, this is different. I wouldn't say this is a newspaper. This is punditry. But in terms of if you're trying to do journalism per se, there are just rules, and then these rules are no longer adhered to. But they were at one time.
I understand that there are rules, but anytime anyone does a report or does an article about anything that I know anything about, I read it and I'm like, these guys have no idea what they're talking about. You know, when I was in, you know, the real break where I started looking at everything very painfully critically was when I was sitting in Zimbabwe in 2000 during the elections, and I'm watching CNN reporting on an election in Africa that I'm sitting in the middle of. And what they were showing on air and what I was experiencing was two entirely different worlds. I mean, like, I wasn't even sure they were in the same country as I was. And that is when I saw an opportunity for individuals to be able to do this. Not that the individuals would tell a more truthful story, just that they couldn't get much worse. And if I saw 10 and I could see people from one side and people from the other side, I could divine the truth somewhere in between them all. It's not, you know, and the problem is, it's not that people aren't committed to telling the truth. It's that their own filters, their own background, and their own experience in whatever subject matter they're working in is very limited. And no matter how hard they try, they're always going to be inaccurate. And it's better to have a crowdsourced solution where you have something happening, you have lots of cameras shooting lots of different things. And then the key is figuring out how to sort through all of that, which I think we're still trying to, you know, figure out. I mean, when I do research and I want current research, I don't look for the Britannica. I look for Wikipedia. You know, that's where I start my research. I don't believe everything I read there, but that's where I begin everything.
I think there was a time, though, Edward R. Murrow, people like that, where there was
I don't know, Leo.
You don't think so?
You go back.
Is that a fantasy?
Go back to the yellow journalism and muckraking, and starting right at the top with the people who own these papers. I mean, I don't think there's ever been. Maybe there was a golden age. I think it's all about really good reporters. I don't necessarily think it's part of some trend. And, you know, one thing is it's so frustrating to me. I've been interviewed by a lot of different people, and some of the most annoying interviews I've had have been from people with really big magazines who got the story completely wrong.
Yep.
And in a lot of cases, I mean, not to sound sour grapes, but basically used me as a resource to figure out what was happening in a space and then didn't cite me in the interview. I don't know if you've ever gotten that.
It
happens to me all the time. Basically, I'm the first person they call because I'm low on the ladder. I give them all the information that they need in over like an hour or two. I never hear from them again, and I'm never cited in the article. And I mean, I know that sounds sour grapes, but I'm just saying I don't think those are isolated. I think these are people on deadlines. People on deadlines. I think they're people that just like me are reading Wikipedia, and I think that people who just like me, you know, make the best decision they can. But they're not magical. There's nothing about them that causes them to have.
Right. You're right. I give up.
I'm not yelling at you, Leo. I'm yelling at journalists.
No, you're absolutely made an excellent point, and I think you're probably right that it is a fantasy that at any time it was in any way some special blessed position.
Let me say one last thing, Leo. Chocolate rain.
That's
all
our
where is our rat hole music when we need it?
This isn't a rat hole. It's a commercial. There's a big difference.
Oh, okay.
That's our Audible book of the week, The Cult of the Amateur, How Today's Internet is Killing Our Culture. You could see it's a great conversation. And Andrew Keene. He's killing the culture. He starts the conversation in a very interesting way, and it is very provocative. If you don't read it while you're driving, as you want to get mad. But there are plenty of other Audible books if you don't want to get mad, if you want to laugh, if you want to cry, if you want to sing Chocolate Rain.
I hate to interrupt, but I actually have something important to say. iPhone 1.0.1 has just been released.
Oh, my God. You heard it here first. Check for update. Yes. Download and install. Okay. Sorry. If you'd like to know more about this fabulous subject... Quick, go to audible.com/MacBreak. I'm sure they won't mind that little alert in the middle of it. audible.com/MacBreak. We do thank them for their support of this podcast. By the way, I'm downloading it right now. Wow.
I told you it was any day. I told you.
You were wrong. You said tomorrow, dude.
I said by tomorrow.
Oh, okay. You're right.
Lawyer ball.
Lawyer ball. So that's it. But now 1.01 implies really that the only thing it's doing is fixing that Safari bug, I would guess.
Well, I don't know. There's probably some other bugs that they've addressed as well. We'll find out.
It doesn't apply new features. Maybe that's why they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it says it's going to install when the download is complete. Are you downloading yours?
I am.
Isn't this amazing? This actually happened while we were taping.
And I just got a firmware upgrade for my hipster PDA.
If you'd get your hand out of your pants, you wouldn't have that problem.
It fixed. I don't know what to say to that.
Chocolate rain. It's good anytime. What did it fix?
Oh, no. Actually, you know, I had a problem with the binder clip catching on my pants.
I have that problem. Yeah. Now it just slides right in, doesn't it?
Slides right in.
No lubrication necessary.
Fix it in post.
This
is going to no longer get the clean tag. I'm just changing that right now. So anything else? MBW ideas, by the way, if you want to help us and avoid these rat holes, you can. Just go to Delicious and post anything at all, and we'll talk about it as long as you tag it MBW ideas.
I think, Leo, you know, I mentioned this because it's something that I'm going to do. I didn't talk about this before the show, but I kind of like the idea of occasionally taking a call. I think we should get the kids involved.
That's you want to do that? I mean, it's too late to do it now, but we can do it next week. You want to take calls?
No, not this week. I'm just saying it might be fun. Maybe take one or two calls. Not a lot.
All right.
Because, until...
Wait a minute. Let me see. I think we got a call coming in right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's take it.
Let's punch up the line here. Who is this? Hello? I'm giving you an opening, Mr. Phone Guy.
Chocolate rain.
Wait a minute. Extracting software update package. This is exciting.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to play Chocolate Rain.
I did too. That's what I was sitting there waiting for you to do.
I already closed that window. What are you talking about? I'm busy downloading. All right, I'll go back to Chocolate Rain. Chocolate Rain. It is obscenely catchy.
I'm trying to find what this thing does. So you think it's just bug...
Verifying existing iPhone software. Oh, my iPhone has like that little Apple with a firmware upgrade going on right now. Are you doing this too? We're at the same time, Scott?
Well, I'm downloading. It's not working as fast for me because I got a couple other things going on.
This feels so good. You and I together, Scott, we're updating our firmware.
Wow.
Let's just keep this in perspective, folks.
He's the Apple phone guy, and I'm updating firmware with him.
You should disclaim.
Did you see David Pogue's tirade about his AT&T bill?
Have you gotten a bill yet? I haven't gotten a bill.
Yeah, David's right. What AT&T itemizes every data transaction you make. And it doesn't give you details, but it says 3 bytes on December 4th, 1927. 4 bytes on August 4th, 1927. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like 20 pages of it. And he points out, nobody cares. You don't have to give us that information.
Speaking of journalistic integrity, the fine journalistic home of integrity, the New York Post, lambasted Mr. Pogue for writing a book about the iPhone while at the same time covering it for the New York Times.
That's a good point.
Why?
Because it's the New York Post and they don't like the New York Times.
But it also means he has an interest in iPhone sales.
He's writing about the iPhone while he's writing about the iPhone? How's that a problem?
No, because it means that you're right. But he's promoting iPhone. In theory, in order to promote the sales of his book, he would want to promote iPhone sales, right? In other words, if you've got an economic stake in the success of the iPhone, you're not going to downplay it.
We should get a rabbi on here.
I think you're right.
Can come in and settle these Talmudic issues. What about Roger Ebert? Roger Ebert puts out books.
And reviews movies.
Listen, by the third
and writes movies.
By the third paragraph of Pogue's review, he was attacking the folks.
I know David very well, and I know that he is... He cares very deeply about being objective. And,
would you apologize on my behalf to him about the whole journalist thing? Tell him he's accepted from that because he seems pretty cool.
No, David's great. We'll have him on. You know what? He's been on this show.
He was on the very first
episode.
Yeah, and we'll have him on again. He's just a great guy, kind of guy you really like. I mean,
He's got a thing on next week.
We should have him on next week.
Should we?
Yeah. If it looks like they're going to do some kind of announcement.
I'm afraid my iPhone firmware update is stalled. You could actually hear an iPhone being bricked right now.
Oh, quit.
It's not moving.
Well, just be patient.
I can't. I'm going to unplug it. Maybe that'll fix it.
That'll certainly help.
I'm just going to take it out of the dock, but that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just follow the example of the guy who bricked his Apple TV and figure out what we shouldn't do.
I'm starting to hypoventilate. I need some chocolate.
This is the first ever podcast where live, but later on tape, people can hear something this momentous occurring in real time almost.
It's pretty exciting. And Andrew Keen said there's no future for internet media.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of like watching the space shuttle get ready to launch, isn't it?
He never heard Chocolate Rain. That's the problem.
Yeah.
He's going to change his tune.
Now, so here's the question. Should I play Chocolate Rain while I'm updating the iPhone?
Or that could cause some sort of cosmic shift that would not be good.
Too late. Ladies and gentlemen, Tay Sunday at Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
Oh, God.
Some stay dry and others feel...
Some stay dry and others feel the pain.
Are we going to get to some picks at some point in time
right now,
while this is going on? Okay.
You start, Scott Bourne, ladies and gentlemen, with his pick.
My pick is iBlogLines.com. If you happen to be an iPhone user and you want a really cool RSS reader, there are several out there, but I like BlogLines on my regular computer.
Better than Mac Reader and better than Google Reader?
I do, I'm sorry to say, because I've gotten used to it, and it works fairly reliably, and iBlogLines has a bunch of cool features, like you can put a pin on something to sort of mark it for looking at it when you get back to your laptop or your desktop. It's very iPhone-friendly. The menu's very easy to read on an iPhone.
My iPhone's restarting.
And you can use your same login information as if you have an existing BlogLines account, and best of all, it is a zero Alex pick.
No, that's exactly why I like the Google Reader, because I already had all my articles in there, you know, all my feeds in there. Oh, my God, the icons are now black and white. Wow, what an improvement.
You must have got the film noir update.
Did you see there is a hack to change your icons to black and white?
Yeah.
Like anyone would want to do that. I guess you could do anything you want, but it changes.
Comes with iRes Edit.
I think it wants to go online. It says you must disable airplane mode. So excuse me if you get some GSM noises. That's just my iPhone calling home to tell Apple it's done.
Me, 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 me.
It has been done, oh my master. The update has succeeded. The Laporte phone has been fixed. All right, let me try typing my name.
That's the first thing he wants to check.
Let's see if they fixed that bug.
You know, that was pretty much what all of Cupertino has been working on since June 29.
L-A-P-O. Nope. The O got really small still. It's still really small. Damn you, Steve Jobs! Damn you! Do you have a pick, Mr. Alex Lindsay?
I do. I have a pick. So my pick is, and one of the reasons I thought I should pick it is because I don't think we've talked about it, but we did talk about it in the last lab, and that is Wirecast. We've been testing it, and it's a really, really nifty application. This is by Vera Software, and this is the full version of Wirecast is about a little over half an Alex. So it's not, but there are a bunch
about
of different versions.
There's
a Wirecast
for people who don't speak Alex.
Sorry,
it's about $300 for those of you who don't speak Alex.
Yeah, yeah. So
we actually have to say a price. We can't.
$450. It's $450.
$450.
It's $450 for the full version. Now, there's two other versions. So there's Wirecast HDV, which is a smaller thing, which is about $100. And then there's VideoQ, which is really, really a basic one that a lot of people who just want to get started could use, and that's about $40. So they have different versions of all this stuff. But Wirecast basically creates to give you an idea, I mean, $449 might seem like a lot of money, but... if you get a hardware version of what they're doing, you're really looking at, starting at $4,000 or $5,000, you know, to do it at the same level. So you can basically have two or three different. You can have your video; it'll actually do the keying for you. You can have lower thirds drop in. You can have graphics drop in. You can do cutting from different angles, and it'll either record it all to a to Drive, or you can actually stream it to a QuickTime server. So it's for people who want to do that type of stuff, and we're playing with the idea of doing live broadcasts, related to Mac Break and stuff like that, and so we've been doing lots of tests around that. And
it's funny you should say that, because I want to do the same thing. I'm doing a lot of Ustream now, on the radio mm-hmm. show, and I was thinking of, that's why I wanted to get those XL2s back from you. I was thinking of setting up a three camera. Yeah. Can you use three cameras?
Yep, you can use, it's just
by
a matter
FireWire
of
FireWire, or, I mean, how would you?
You just hook them up, you can do FireWire, USB.
To the same machine.
On the same machine, yeah.
See, that's really good. I was thinking of doing that and having a switcher and actually switching the show while I'm doing it.
And that would be the way you'd be able to do it.
Can you, one of the inputs be the screen?
That I don't know. Here's what you could do is that
maybe with CamTwist you could, because CamTwist has a screen display module and gets seen as a camera.
I'm not positive. I haven't tried to do that because we have a different pipeline for that. But what we're looking at doing actually for that specifically is taking the there's a little converter that'll take DVI and convert it to HDMI. And then there is the intensity card, Blackmagic's intensity card will take HDMI and then convert it back to video. And so what we're looking at doing is actually converting, going out of one computer with a screen and go right into an HDMI in and record that to drive. And
so
that's
how would you get, you would get DVI to HDMI?
DVI to HDMI and drop that in. One of the inputs would be the HDMI input from the Blackmagic. Now we're just getting ready to test this. We haven't tested it yet, but with Wirecast specifically, we've had great capture experience with the Blackmagic card. So that's actually worked really, really well from our HDMI cameras. But this is kind of another pipe, because you know how we get really impatient about our screen, waiting for our screens screen captures. And we've gotten around some of that with iShowYou, but it creates stability issues. And then Snapseed is more stable, but it can wait for a long time. And then, but with this, what you'd end up doing is taking just your standard DVI out, and then it just converts it to HDMI. And it's like a little, you got to get, these things used to cost $2,000 or $3,000. And it's just like this little converter that'll convert it to HDMI. And so what we're planning to do is then run that into a, into another computer that is capturing, from the Blackmagic and recording to drive. And then it's just done. It's recording, and when it's done, it's done. To make us happy.
I'd be very interested to hear how that comes out, because I want to actually try that with the, we have about 2,000 people watch the Ustream of the radio show.
Right.
And I'm thinking of doing that on Ustreaming this. If we wanted to take calls next week, Merlin, we could do that via Ustream.
That many, they watch the video.
2,000 people watch me sit there and talk. Is that crazy?
Now we understand why Chocolate Rain is so popular.
Chocolate Rain. I might sing Chocolate Rain during the commercials. I do actually perform a little bit during the commercials. That could have something to do with it.
You know what we all ought to do? We ought to, the four of us, do something we rarely ever do, which is physically get together and do a Chocolate Rain video, the four of us. That would get 5 million and one.
Can we work up a dance?
Yeah. Mm. We can do it at the big sound stage with the green screen. Then Alex can put something cool behind it.
Chocolate Rain.
Sure. Sure.
We could actually have it. We could have it raining Nestle Quick.
I think the problem is, by the time we get around to actually doing it, no one will ever want to hear it again. The fad will have passed, and we'll be over it onto something.
I regret telling Leo about it already.
I want to give you an up. So that's your pick, by the way, Mr. Alex Lindsay. It is, what did you say? I didn't realize it was that expensive.
Yeah. $449 for the full version, but the HDV version or smaller, or DV version, is only like $99.
Oh,
so if you're using smaller stuff, the unlimited version is a little bit more expensive.
I'll probably get that though. And you can try before you buy. You don't have to.
Yep. You can try before you buy, and I would definitely try it and see if it works for you. But I think it's the best thing that I've seen so far to do that. And there was another one called Channel Storm a long time ago, they just never upgraded it, so it looked like it was going to go the right direction, and then nothing happened. And this is really the best solution that I found of a software mixer, recording process.
Very cool. I want to give you, I actually don't have a pick. I just want to give you an update on my Mac heist experience.
Oh, how'd that go?
Went great. I'm actually stunned. Got full versions of all the applications. We did this a couple of weeks ago. It was $49, and it was like 12 applications. And I was a little concerned, but I got Browse Back. I got Amadeus Pro. Both of those are worth $40 or $50, the amount what I paid for it. I've been using Little Snitch, which is possibly the most annoying application ever, but it makes you feel more secure. is constantly telling me, you know, he's trying to get on the, he's trying to get on the internet. It's well named.
It gets better. It gets better over time as
you train it. And you know, I have the same misgivings about all firewall, all outward bound firewall programs, is that there's this fatigue factor that sets in. And after a while, you say, yes, 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 just let it go all the time. I don't care. And then it's not doing anything. But I got a bunch of stuff. I mean, Pixelmator private beta, Flow private beta, Rightroom. I mean, this was I have to say, a good deal. And because I bought late in the cycle, all of them had been unlocked.
Nice.
So, yeah, I was really prepared to say this doesn't work. It's a scam or whatever. I don't know why. It seemed to be good to be true. And it isn't. I don't know about the next one. I don't know anything about that. But as far as the last Mac heist, that worked. That's macheist.com. Probably worth paying attention to. It's Philip Ryu. We've talked about him before. He's the guy who did Disco. And didn't he also do the contest that you and I were judges for? I can't remember what the name of that was.
Yeah, he did.
But it was a good one.
I'm spacing it. It's what the name of it was.
Shoot.
It was like American Idol for applications.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting, by the way. I know they're actually developing the winning application, but we haven't seen that yet. So I'm waiting to see what happens with that. But that was, this guy, if nothing else, is a great marketer. He's clearly done a good job of getting these developers together. I hope they're making money. That would be my biggest concern. But obviously, they're entering into it themselves, and apparently glad to do so. So, boy, and it was a good deal. I got a ton of software. Some of which I didn't care about, but some of which I was very happy to get.
Leo, has your phone finished updating?
Yes.
So what do you think about iChat?
No. Where?
You don't want iChat?
Is iChat on there? Where?
You don't have it on yours?
Shut up. You lie. It doesn't look like it's any different in any way.
It's not. I'm just kidding.
And by the way, it doesn't in any way take off. I mean, it had a lot of messages and stuff.
Actually, the weather icon is different.
Is it?
Yep.
Does it now give you the temperature? It does.
It now matches. It now matches.
It gives you the temperature of your front page.
Temperature and sun condition.
That's something I thought it should do a while ago. That's really great. Now, as soon as they get the stock price to reflect Apple's stock...
I'm hitting that button right now.
Right on front there. They should have the little stock, the Scott Bourne stock icon.
Yeah. It
just says
131.76 at close.
How much richer you are. Down almost 10 bucks.
I'm much poorer today.
6%. Wow. Wow. You look at that 1 week graph. It's not good. Why?
Thank God for dollar cost averaging. Yeah, I got to say.
Dow Jones average only down 1%. 146 points, though. This sounds like a radio show now. Let me see. I just want to make sure Chocolate Rain is still on my because that would be terrible if it weren't. Let's just. Oh yeah.
What a relief. Whew.
So that we just want to report, and you'll be the first to hear it here, that the new iPhone update does not hamper in any way your ability to watch Chocolate Rain on your iPhone.
Thank goodness.
Can you tell any difference, Scott? Because it doesn't seem in any way different to me, except for that one weather thing, which is great.
Yeah, I've had a few seconds to sit here and play with it. Obviously, not much that I can pick out other than immediately noticing the weather icon matching the true
good
conditions.
Good call on that. The clock does not show the current time, unfortunately, but you already see that on your front anyway.
Right.
Looks pretty much the same, but a welcome update, I guess.
Merlin, did you have a software pick? Did we ask
I'm sorry, Merlin, software pick.
I got a quickie. I actually posted about this on the site. Have we done? Gosh, why? I need to get some kind of medication.
We need to get a page, and everybody's telling me this, where we show all of the picks, and I don't
somebody
know how to do that because I'd have
send
to
send me an email. There's somebody who's keeping track of this.
Well,
if
there was.
If you are,
and
please
stop. And now there's another one.
Please send me an email, whoever's keeping track, because what I will do is I will create it a page at twit.tv, but the problem is I don't know, and I don't want to listen through all of our old shows to get the old ones. So I guess I'll have to.
Have we done Roo Switch?
No.
Good. Roo Switch is awesome. Roo Switch
I downloaded
is,
that. Yeah, what does it do? I have it on my...
I just posted this on the site today. I learned about it. I think I learned about it a few months ago, and then I was reminded of it by somebody at Omni Group. If you've ever had something where you're using like a, let's say you're using a beta of an application, or you've got a new version of an app, and you want to be extra safe and make sure that your data doesn't get clobbered with the update, this does this really simple little thing. It's this program where you drop the icon for, say, mail.app or Omni Outliner or whatever. You drop the icon, you know, you drop the app onto this app. Nah.
So you take the icon, you drop it onto the app.
And what happens is this application finds all of the preferences and application support library stuff that's associated with it. And so in the case of mail, it'll find like one point whatever gigabytes of stuff associated with mail.app and back it up in these separate profiles. So you can have like a backup of what you just did, have it create a new blank entry, and so on. And so if you're testing, this is kind of for geeks and software developers. This is going to be most useful. But it's a really sure way, especially if you're on an alpha or a beta of software, to make sure that your data stays intact. Now, it will not back up the documents that are associated with, you know, a document creating app, but it will make sure that all of your settings and preferences gets set aside and taken care of. And I love it. I'm using it on several apps, and I like it a lot. It's $14.95 shareware. It's 1/47th of an Alex. RuSwitch is at rubasoft.com.
You know, when you said Ru, they have another program, RuVid, but has that been a pick before? Because that's what I thought you were going to talk about, also from Rubasoft.
What is that? I don't refresh my memory.
I can't remember if this is what I downloaded, and I can't remember if I downloaded it because I heard you guys talk about it or just because it was something I was looking for. You must have talked about this, Alex.
I don't think so.
You should actually look. You create profiles about how you want video exported from QuickTime or iMovie. And then you can have the pre-selected profiles. So basically, if you're somebody who makes a video podcast, as you do, Merlin, for instance, you'd create with RuVid a bunch of profiles, and then you'd automatically, it would export the video into all those formats.
That's nice. Oh, that's fantastic.
Same people, Rubasoft.
Huh.
Yeah, it's RuVid. So
this is kind of like getting some of the features you'd have with Compressor or something like that, but it would be...
It probably uses Compressor. I mean, it probably is still using those technologies. It's just a way of saving profiles.
Well, in Compressor, the Compressor that comes with Final Cut Pro Studio, you can save all that stuff, you know, and just set it up as a batch and so on and so forth. But when you're just using QuickTime, of course, you can't do that. And so this would give you some of those features. And so that's
probably what it is. That's exactly what it is, yeah. So that's two for one from Rubasoft. Just go to Rubasoft and get all the Ru software. I wonder if I have to go to the front page now and see what else they do. RuSwitch, RuVid, and that's it. Which is good because we're out of time. So let me just say one thing before we go.
The pain chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin chocolate rain.
With what did he say? With Abby's foreskin? That's my daughter he's talking about. What is he saying there?
The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain.
I think the school books say it can't be here again is probably pretty much the best way to end that song. Folks, we want to thank you. We have ground to a complete halt. But I do want to remind everybody that any stock picks you've heard on this show are absolutely fallacious. If you get your financial advice from a podcast, you better think again, buddy boy.
Fallacious?
Fallacious. Say that carefully, Scott Bourne.
I know we're going to go and get some editing done here.
AppleFoneShow.com is the place to find Mr. Scott Bourne when he's not playing with his Apple phone. Also, Merlin Mann at 43folders.com and TheMerlinShow.com. Always great to have you on. And Alex Lindsay at PixelCore.com. And, of course, the great Pixel Core podcast at pixelcore.tv. I ran out of room, Alex, on twit.tv, and I can't fit any more links in there. So I took the... please don't take it personally. I took the pixelcore.tv link off of there, but I just have to make the thing wider because when we took comments off the front page on Twit, I wanted to make sure that people could get to the free forums at Town Square. So, but anyway,
right.
I pushed.
So if people want to leave comments for Mac Break Weekly, where do they do it now?
Up their butt. No, oh, okay. I'm sorry. That was
just
that was hostile.
Hey, just
that was hostile.
We know where that came from.
Oh, Nelly.
Chocolate rain. So they can go to, there are a couple of places. Of course, if you're a donor and, you know, all it costs is a buck to donate and you get to the the forums. And frankly, just the fact that people have to pay a little bit, even a buck, makes those forums great. That's twit.tv/forums. But again, you have to donate. If you don't want to donate, you want to be in the free open market, go to Leoville Town Square, and there's a link on the front page there, leovilletownsquare.com, and there is a Twit podcast section just for you. And you, I read them all, and I participate both places. And we also put an email address and so forth, so you can always contact us there. Do you, you actually do have comments now on pixelcore.tv. For a while, you didn't.
For a while, we didn't, and then I think we do now. So
I come and go.
Yes.
Because sometimes people
say... You kind of go into this thing where you really want them because you want to see what people are saying.
I love getting the feedback, but sometimes the feedback is not so useful. Mainly, I'm concerned about... well, we had spam problems, but more importantly, I'm concerned about negative comments on the pod, right on the page of the podcast, convincing people not to listen to the podcast.
Well, my favorite one was the one where the guy said that I was at the Feebug users group in Santa Rosa showing off my Breitling watch. And the problem with that is I've never spoken to
them. They were talking about Guy Kawasaki.
Oh.
No, they were talking about me.
But they thought you were Guy Kawasaki.
You could go back and read the comments. You'd see that I think you misunderstood that. That person was talking about Guy Kawasaki.
Oh.
Well, that's because Scott has a Breitling watch.
No, I'm strictly a Rolex man, so that's how I knew it couldn't be me.
Pardon moi, senor. So you might want to be taking stock tips from this guy, frankly. We are going to wrap this up before I get in any more trouble. Any other disclaimers? Just basically forget anything we've said. It's all a grand mist. See you next time on Mac Break Weekly.